skip that thing for now. First off, I'd like to thank the elders and Scott and Stephen and the rest of the congregation for opening up this opportunity for me to come up here and speak and for the other young men to come up and speak. Getting the signal to actually wear it, so. Is that better at all? That should do it. That one working? It working now? Okay. But Ecclesiastes 4. I was joking with Jonathan at the teen study on Friday that he'd stolen my topic. So the rest of some of you guys will just have to bear with me and go with hear the same message twice. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. For those of you who know me, you've probably at some point heard one of my sea stories. I spent about a year of my life sailing on various merchant ships all around the world. I sailed on a container ship. I sailed on a grain bulk carrier that carried thousands of tons of grain, and I sailed on a cruise ship. Now, all these ships are very different from each other. They all have completely different purposes, go to completely different places, go and work in almost completely different ways. But there are a few things that all ships have in common. First, you have your engine, you have your rudder, you have your radar, and every single ship you will ever go on has rope. We call it line. Rope, miles of rope. Sometimes the rope is as small that you can make a keychain out of it. And more importantly, your most important rope that you're going to have on a ship is your mooring lines, which are about that big. And the thing about mooring lines is that they're not made from just one strand of rope. They're made from three strands, is usually the most common, eight strands, 16 strands, all wound together to become more and more strong to hold this ship that carrying thousands and thousands of tons of cargo, sometimes important cargo. You got Apple products on there, you got cell phones, you got grain that's going to starving people in Africa. Hold that ship to the shore. And sometimes the wind picks up, the waves pick up, and your ship's going like this, slamming against the dock, and you got to tighten up on your lines so you're not moving anywhere. But these lines, you get about four of them usually on average. Four ropes hold this massive floating building to the shore. Now, what is it that makes the rope strong? Well, if you had one strand, let me tell you something. That's going to snap very quickly. And when ropes snap, it's really dangerous. But the more and more lines you wrap together, the more strands that you twist together, the stronger and stronger it becomes. A three-strand rope is not three times stronger than one strand. It could be as much as 10 or 15 times stronger than a one strand of line. So, what does that apply to us? How does that apply to us? Well, why are we all here today? Why are we here worshiping? Why are we all together as a group? Why can't we worship at home? Why can't we just stay at home? What was the purpose of establishing a place and an establishment for God's saints to come together? Well, it's to encourage each other. It's to make each other stronger. I'll tell you one thing. I know that I have my struggles that I deal with, right? And I know that if I'm out on my own, I'm going to fall a lot quicker to those struggles. But if I'm out there and I'm going out somewhere with Matt or my brother or just about anyone in this room, I shine a lot brighter. We're stronger together. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens the countenance of his friend. This is another thing you had on a ship. Everyone carried a knife. Didn't matter what your job on the ship was, you had a knife in your pocket. And if your knife got dull, you were in trouble. You needed that knife because if a line started to go, if something was, you know, stuck and it didn't need to be, if it was tied to the wrong thing and you had to make a quick release, you could cut the line, it would go free. There's all kinds of things that you would need your knife for. And it was the most important tool a sailor could have on his person. But if your knife got dull and couldn't cut through your line that you were using to, you know, repair something, or you need small line to hold big line to places, you have rope everywhere on a ship. But you need your knife. And you need to keep your knife sharp. And again, that's what we do with each other, right? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend. As we're together, we can test each other. We can strengthen each other. We can make each other more useful. The more time we spend together, we become stronger and better Christians. And again, that's the whole point of the church. Why do you think it was that the Christians in the early church were sent out two by two? Luke 10, verse 1. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So he sent out his messengers with his word two at a time. We can cover a whole lot more ground when you send one person, right? If you got 70 people, you can go to 70 places. But what happens if you send one person out over here and everywhere they turn, they just happen to be that one place that they're tempted to do that thing, whatever it is. It's their weakness. It's the thing that they can't stand up to. And they are there alone. How long do you think they're going to last? Depends on the person. Some might actually do very well in that situation and shine. But in general, Christ knew this and God knows this. We are stronger together. That's why he created the church. The church wasn't created for God. God didn't establish his church on this earth, the kingdom, the way he did, for himself. He established it the way he did. He commanded us to assemble, not forsaking the assembly on the first day of the week, for us. Because again, what happens when someone doesn't show up? You call him up. Scott might call him up, or Matt might call him, or go visit. And, hey, where were you? Oh, I was sick. Oh, well, great. Well, let me pray for you, and I'll let everyone else know that you're okay, or you're, you know, not feeling well, or something came up. And that's encouraging. Honestly, that's something that we all need to hear and experience at some point. We all need to be calling and figuring out where those people are, because it's encouraging, and we want them to be here. We want them to be strengthened. We want them to strengthen us, more importantly, or just as importantly, I should say. We have a couple examples in the Bible of people who were encouraging, but there's only one character that I can think of in the Bible who was named for his ability to encourage. Turn over in Acts 9, 26 through 27. Acts 9, 26 and 27. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and now he had preached, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Actually, if you turn over in Acts 4 as well, we can see what the name Barnabas means. Acts 4, 36 through 37. And when Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So let's go back real quick to chapter 9. Can you imagine being Paul? Like, just think for a second. You had just spent several years persecuting, killing, and throwing in prison Christians. People like us, right here. Someone came in there, and you'd known some I don't know, maybe some ISIS terrorists who had beheaded, former ISIS terrorists, who had beheaded Christians over in Somalia or in Iran. And he came in saying, I am a sinful man, please, I've seen the light. I'd like to think all of us would invite him in, but I don't know if we all would. I don't know if all of us would be as willing as Barnabas was to invite Paul in. So he comes in here, Paul came in and he had spoken to Jesus Christ. He had heard the voice of Jesus Christ. And now the people he was supposed to be serving and the people he was supposed to be helping were rejecting him. And who comes out of the group and says, hey, listen to this guy, the son of encouragement, Barnabas. And I love Barnabas for that, honestly. I can't even imagine what that must have felt like for to have a friendly face come up and say, hey, buddy, let me introduce you to my friends over here, right? I think it's fantastic. We see Barnabas again over in chapter 11, I believe, if I'm reading my notes right. Yeah. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they were sent out to Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And he came and had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with the purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Again, we see Barnabas everywhere he goes, just encouraging people, making them feel better, feel stronger, and grow in the light. And that's what we should be doing as Christians. That's the whole point of this assembly. Again, God doesn't need a group of people here singing praises. He doesn't need that. He's the almighty, all-powerful God. You know, the Greek gods, they needed the worship of the people, right? To strengthen them, to get their power. God doesn't need any of that. God doesn't need us. We need God, and we need each other in order to be able to one day see God in heaven. Again, that's what this is all about. That's what this whole, the whole assembly that we have right now. We are all here going in one direction. Your lines on your ship are pulling in one direction. You're not going to see lines on a ship pulling against each other saying, I want the ship to fly out to sea. I want it to stay. No, we are united. And we are all pulling in the same direction to the same goal. And that is eternal life in heaven. If you haven't accepted the name of Jesus at this point, if you haven't gone up and made the good confession and been baptized for the remission of your sins, if you haven't seen where you've stumbled, or if you have done all those things, if you know that you've been baptized and you've fallen and you need the encouragement of the people around you, if you need someone who can say, hey buddy, let's get you cleaned up and let's go again, let's keep trying, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.